Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for everybody that's here gathered together. I pray, Lord, that there will be a lifting up in the house and a strengthening. And for the family that's in question, Lord, pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will hover over them in Jesus' name. The great strengthener, strengthen them in Jesus' name. We thank you. We give you praise and glory. As always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding. So cause that light to shine in our hearts and give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let me say to you this way. Some of the hardest things that a pastor has to go deal with is when there are moments of trials and losses such as this. It's really hard, And I can tell you one thing, too. When I was preaching yesterday about coming to a place of rest, I wasn't thinking about that. last night I was saying, why in the world? I was preaching about coming to a place of rest, and the children of God will get rest. And then I started to think, I was conflicted. Let me just put it to you that way. Conflicted about it last night. And then I thought, I said, well, there's rest for the weary as well, And little did I know that yesterday, as I was preaching, that there is rest coming, coming to a place of rest, and there's an end to all of those struggles. I wasn't thinking of the end like that, but I tell you something, a real believer that's been in a lot of pain and a lot of distress for years, if they give up the ghost and they get a taste of that place of glory, there's nothing you can do to bring them back. I guarantee you that. Because they're going to say, wow, I can be in a place like this rather than all that suffering. But Jesus said there'll be no more pain. And, but for the rest of us, family and so forth, no matter how long a person's been sick, you're still hanging on to hope. And no matter how much trouble and distress and all of these things that you've been dealing with when you're trying to save their life, the moment you think that they are gone, it's unbearable loss. Later on, you might start to think about it and so forth. So one of the hardest things, being a pastor, you can teach faith all the time, but how do you deal with, tragedy and so forth like that? It's a hard thing. But here's what I want to share with us today. As far as I'm concerned, I know that the scripture says women did receive their dead back to life, but the same verse in the same scripture said, well, some of them would not even, want to be delivered. They're looking for better resurrection. They're looking for a better place. So on the one hand, those of us who are left behind when there is a loss, or a believer passes on, we are in sorrow. On the other hand, a person that's passed on is in a good place. They never have that pain anymore. Well, the family will be conflicted. Their friends will be conflicted. And here's part of the conflict. See, Jesus never pronounced anyone dead. Think about that. It didn't matter whether they were in a casket. People that were being carried in a casket, stop the casket. Stop the procession. It didn't matter whether they were sick and dying And, you know, and even told that they were dead. One man was told, he said, well, trouble not the master. You know, he's dead already. You know, and Jesus said, fear not. And in that moment, called them back to life. Another one came to Jesus and said, look, I know who you are. You speak the word only. And my servant shall live. And Jesus said, wow. And yet another one show you that there are many scenarios. There was yet another one that was sick and almost dying. And Jesus knew what would happen. And he actually waited until the man died. Think about that. And then when he died, and everybody be sorrowing and crying and even, you know, walking up the you know, they got all the professional mourners and everything were there, crying, you know, and his sisters were wondering. I mean, I thought this man, you know, was our friend. He was always visiting us and everything. And now we were calling on him when our brother was dying. And he's nowhere to be found. So after all of that, all the grieving and crying and sorrowing and purchasing a grave and casket and all that stuff, when they were almost finally coming to grips with the fact that their brother is gone, now he shows up. 4 days after the man's already been buried. I mean, probably a whole week has gone by. Because, you know, there were times when he was sick unto death. He didn't show up. Waited more, some more days. He didn't show up. And then finally, it took them time to bury the guy. You know, so, you know, all that time and all that sorrow. And then he showed up. And then when he showed up, he saw all the sorrowing and everything. And the Bible says Jesus wept. You know, I mean, he was moved by all that sorrow. But he knew within himself what he was going to do. And, you know, he was touched by their sorrow because he knew that he was, the guy was going to come out of there, but all that pain that they had to go through. But the glory of God is greater than the pain that we have to go through. So, but it bothered Jesus too. And, you know, as a human being. But he already knew because he said, look, the sickness is not unto death. But yet the man died, you know, so you can be, you can worry, I mean, be conflicted about that statement. How would he say that this is not unto death and yet the man died? Well, as I often describe it, is that, well, if Jesus said it's not unto death, the man died, means that the Lord was going to reverse it so that it will be as though it was not unto death. And so that's exactly what Jesus did. Call the man out of there. Come out of the grave, Lazarus. You know, but one thing you notice is this. This is the thing that I want to talk to us about today. You know, there's a story, you know, in 1 Kings chapter 17. I want to talk about this. Yeah, this story is more than conquerors. I'm going to get to the more than conquerors part in a bit, but I want to tell us this story. Set a background, you know, for, you know, why we are praying and stuff like that. You know, because this is a difficult situation. So I gotta talk about it. You know, this story in 1 Kings chapter 17. There was a lot of things that started to happen. We got introduction about Elijah. Then you go to 1 Kings 18. Then Elijah is going to deal with this situation with the prophets of Baal. You know, so, you know, he said, well, there were 400 prophets of Baal and another 450 prophets of the group, whatever they were. I mean, that's a lot of them, hundreds, over 850 of them. And Elijah on one side. And Elijah said to them, well, choose you one block for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many. Call on the name of your gods. But put no fire on that, and so forth. And he said, well, I will dress mine also. And let the God that answers by prayer, by fire, let him be God. You know the story. But what I wanted to bring out in this is that, you know, the other people went first, and he told them, you know, you go first. And so they cried aloud and cut themselves after all their manner with knives and lancets, and the blood gushed out. It came to pass, you know, noonday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening oblation. I mean, for hours and hours and hours they prayed, but there was neither voice, nor any answer, nor any that regarded. So Elijah mocked them and said, well, you know, why don't you cry a little, you know, harder? Shout a little more. I mean, he's a god after all. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he went on a journey. Maybe he must needs be woken up or something. Cry a little more. So he mocked them. And these people cried and cut themselves and prayed all night, all day long. Nothing happened. Finally, Elijah said, all right, you know, I'm going to show you something here. See? And Elijah came and said, you know, a simple prayer. He said, well, he said, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and I've done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, I pray that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again today. He didn't pray for hours, and the fire fell. And even something that was incredible happened. He asked them to dig trenches around that, you know, his own, you know, bullock. Deep trenches, they dug trenches, they pour in water. He said, do it again, do it again, do it again. I mean, to the point that they, you know, you will know that it wasn't maybe, you know, an accidental fire, maybe the dry ground or the dry sticks or the dry rocks, you know, caught on fire. I mean, soak the whole thing with water. Water and fire don't mix. And yet, the fire came and licked up everything. You know, and so, our God is not a God that cannot answer. He's not a God that we have to pray for hours and cut ourselves and do all of these things and so forth. You know, I mean, we've seen Jesus raised the dead in the Bible. We've seen even the apostles raised the dead. We've seen them pray for the sick. They even cut themselves and pray for hours and so on. You know, so when it gets to that situation, even though we must not give up, well, we know, and this was a posture that I developed since I was a young man. I told myself, I said, Lord, you know, when I stand before the Lord, I want to be able to say, I believe the Lord for that situation and that one and the other one and everyone. Every situation, whether it turned out the way I was expecting or not, that's your business, Lord. But I don't want to be in a position where you say, why didn't you believe me for that? So I was training myself to be always, you know, always believe God for anything. And just believe God like that. you know, and over the years, I, you know, trained myself to be like that by the grace of God. Now, I believe God for anything and everything. Now, but sometimes, you know, things may not turn out my way. Now, you know, I have not resigned, you know, my mind, this situation. I was even getting messages yesterday where people already resigning and say, well, you know, this and that and so on. People were trying to, you know, say this and that. I'm like, you know, okay, well, you know, it's a good thing for the brother to go and be rested. For years, I've been in a scary situation. And here's the way I think about it. I mean, Bible says, is there no balm in Gilead? I mean, is our God like this Baal that we got to cry and pray and cut ourselves before he can answer us? I mean, or can he not just answer us? So if he doesn't, then he would have had to speak to us about it. And maybe he did. Maybe we didn't know it. You know, I don't know. You know, and you know, sometimes, I mean, we're in denial of these things, you know, because you know, nobody wants to accept that. You know, but when you look at it, well, at the end, you might find out that the Lord always knows what he's doing. And I was speaking yesterday in the room here. I said, well, I mean, all that struggle is coming to an end. And I was thinking in the night, why in the world would I say something like that? And then now, I mean, I don't want it to be for this situation. That's not what I was talking about. I was talking about another thing for the people of God, their struggles. But then again, you know, it's still applied in that situation. The struggles and all of that. Now, maybe finally coming to an end. Who knows? But I've seen also in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, there were two people called the two witnesses, you know, and after the days of their prophesying and different things, I mean, the Lord allowed them to be killed, and they were in plain sight, satellite TV, the whole world was looking at them. They were dead for 3.5 days on the streets. And then all of a sudden, the spirit of life came back into them and they rose up on their feet. So as far as I'm concerned, somebody been dead 3.5 days, somebody been dead in the grave 4 days, you know. I mean, even scripture say there's hope of a tree, though it be cut down. You know, that through the scent of water, I can come alive again. Dead bones can live again. God asked Ezekiel and say, yeah, you know, Lord. And we see all kinds of things. But if it doesn't turn out that way, should we bury our heads in shame? Family that suffers a loss may need, not even may, definitely needs to be held up. You can't imagine, you know, the things that, you know, the system, Maggie herself has gone through for years. And even the last few days, you can't imagine. And even yesterday, you know, as we were in the room, Statita was saying, well, you know, we haven't seen Sister Maggie. Maybe reach out to her. Well, the reason you didn't see her was all the stuff that was going on. And she has held under a lot of weight. You know, her health also, even in precarious situation over the last couple of weeks because of so many things. And so maybe, well, you know, maybe there's a rest coming that the Lord was talking about. I don't know. You know, but, you know, so I'm always conflicted in situations like that because I like to believe God till the end. I don't care, you know, what it looks like or doesn't look like. My thing is, I believe God, you know, unless God speaks. But the Lord said, well, God, I'm thinking, well, maybe the Lord spoke. Maybe I didn't want to listen. I don't know. You know. But let me talk to you about being more than conquerors. Here is the thing, you know. Paul wrote about many things. First of all, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, I'm going to read that first before I read the more than conquerors text. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul was talking about, look, you know, don't let these afflictions move you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, he said that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are pointed there unto. I mean, afflictions of life. I'm not talking about the passing away of a brother. Well, that one is actually not an affliction for him. Maybe his family and his friends. But, you know, that's why Paul said, well, don't sorrow like others because, you know, they go to a better place. And we know we should see them again. But, you know, don't let any of these afflictions move you. What afflictions? Well, I mean, many things that Paul wrote about, things that we suffer from time to time. So we are troubled on every side. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. Yet we're not distressed. So the thing is, be sure that you are not distressed. You know? We are perplexed because we wonder. I mean, our God is not Baal that we have to pray and pray and pray that he cannot answer us. Well, sometimes we're perplexed, but we bounce back. We're not in despair. I mean, all these things that happen to us, persecuted, not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Sometimes I cast down. You know, I say casting down. I don't care how long a person's been sick, how long they, you know, what they're going through and how much distress. In a moment when they think they've lost that person, it's like unbearable, irreparable loss. And until they finally, you know, come to terms with it, you know. But hey, that all being said, who knows what else God has up in his sleeves. Now, don't be distressed. Don't be perplexed. Don't be in despair. We're going to pray for that family in a bit. But I want to give this word of exhortation. The book of Romans chapter 8, this is where he was talking about, you know, being more than conquerors. Not just being a conqueror, but more. I mean, you can be a conqueror, but you barely survive that fight. You're badly wounded. You know, maybe even maimed. Maybe you come out of it. I mean, you won the battle, but I mean, you are so badly broken out of it. Well, that's not more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror is not only do you survive that fight, you win that fight, and you are still buoyant afterwards. You know, you got a victory. The life also of Jesus still manifests in your mortal flesh. And there are many battles that we go through. I often wonder, I mean, why is it that when a believer is sick and we pray and pray and pray, I mean, why are they not healed? Well, one thing is you must not give up, because we've seen situations where people pray and pray and pray, and it looks like they're not going to be healed. And then suddenly they're healed. But what if they had given up? And we heard testimony in this room of incredible things that God had done. You know, we heard the testimony of our sister Sue and her husband, the situation with the PSA and all of that. It's incredible. We've heard other testimonies of great things that God has done. You know, yet at the same time, we hear some other situations. Well, you know, one person said, well, the Lord knows best. And sometimes that's a hard saying, you know, when you are praying and saying, Lord, you know, show thy power. Let it be known, you know, that the God of Israel, you know, these are the kind of prayers that, you know, the people used to pray, and God would show up, you know. However, if he doesn't, you know, here's what the, you know, three young men said in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. He said, well, we know that our God is able to deliver us. We're persuaded about that. And we also know that he will deliver us. Not only we know that he's able to do it, we know he will. So we need to settle that. You know, I say to people, I say that part is non-negotiable. You need to settle it in your heart that God is able to do that thing. Raise the dead even. And that he will actually do it. You settle that in your heart. You know, but on the other hand, there's this part of you that says, well, there may be some sovereign act of God that I don't understand. So even if he chooses to not do it, I know he's able to do it and I know he will do it. But if for some reason, best known to himself, he actually goes a different direction, well, I still I will trust him. You know, Job said, though he slay me, I will still bless him. You know, I'm still not going to bow down to the devil or give up my faith and say, well, devil won. Devil win nothing. Praise the Lord. Never, never give the devil the satisfaction of thinking that he won something. He lost. He lost everything. He never won anything. Paul himself said, look, you know, for me to live, you know, it's good, but to die is gain. Because when I'm absent in the body, I'm immediately present with the Lord. Boy, you can't bring somebody back from that place. They don't want to come back. It's a place. You know, all of us talk about it. We dream about it. We hope about it and so forth. But when you taste it, you know, It's hard to come back from that. But let's see what Paul had to say about, you know, the things that we may suffer and how we can be more than conquerors, you know. So in the book of Romans chapter 8, popular text, let's read it. And then we'll go to pray. What shall we say then to these things? He said, starting at verse 31. If God be for us, who or what can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all these things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, also maketh intercession for us. I mean, if Christ is praying for us, we are praying about a situation, and Christ making intercession for us, well, you know, then it's all good. However, the outcome is all good. Who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, let's look at these things. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword or death? I would say, you know, because he's going to talk about death and life in the next few verses here. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, he said, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. This is where we're going with this lesson today. You know, this is Paul's testimony. Is it your testimony also? Are you persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things that haven't even happened? You know, height or depth, whether you are up or down, or any other creature, are you persuaded that none of those things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Are you? Well, Paul said, I am persuaded. Well, I am also persuaded. And let us all be persuaded that not even death, not even life. And I'll tell you something else too. You know, I call the Lord the God of Roland Akibon. Yes. Because I, you know, I've seen God move in his power through his life. You know, it's like people say, well, the God of Elijah, the God of this, the God of that. Well, you know, if God is the God of Roland Akibon, God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Praise God. You think about that. Jesus answered that question himself. When they were, people were, you know, trying to trick him up about the resurrection. They said, well, you know, a man had a wife, died without having any children, you know, and according to our culture, you know, the one brother took her. He also died. She had no children for him. And then the other one, and seven of them likewise, you know, I mean, well, in the resurrection then, whose wife shall she be? Seeing that all of them had her to wife. And Jesus, discerning their thoughts, said, well, ye neither know the scriptures nor the power of God. That's right. You know, so part of the power of God is that God is a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So concerning the resurrection, he said, if God called himself the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and say, God is not a God of the dead. I mean, that's a powerful revelation. You know, you say, well, God will never call himself the God of Abraham if there is no resurrection, because then Abraham will be dead. And God is not a God of the dead. Praise God. He's not a God of the dead. So if we say the God of Roland Akibon, Roland is not dead, he's only sleeping. Some of you might be shocked if you are even hearing about this for the first time. Or maybe you didn't hear all the, you know, scrambling around yesterday and so forth. Well, it is what it is, but I gotta tell you like it is. You know, Jesus said the man is sleeping, he's not dead. Well, wouldn't that be wonderful for us to be able to say that in every situation that somebody died? But actually you can. Whether they come back to this physical life or not, Jesus said they are sleeping, not dead. And Paul liked to use the word sleep rather than dead. He said, well, you know, I mean, those that are falling asleep in Christ, they shall rise first. You know, he called them dead, but he also said they sleep. You know, and then we know that they will rise first. Wow. You say, you know, I can't, I mean, you can't even think about it. That is he really gone? I mean, is God not going to bring him back and answer this prayer and show his glory? Well, that's up to him. My business is I believe him that he can do it and that he will do it. Praise God. And I don't, you know, and this is the reason why, you know, sometimes, you know, we lose somebody. We don't even want to accept it. There was a young man that, you know, we lost some time ago. You know, it was a young man, a powerful young man that was with us at one time here at our church. And he even stayed with us for some months in my house. And powerful young man. He loved Nigeria too. So, you know, someone that was born here in the United States, black American, loved everything. And he even went to Nigeria and started some ministry down there. We went there and visited one time. Powerful young man. And one day we suddenly heard that he died. I didn't accept that situation for months. You know, I couldn't even bring myself to tell people that that was the case. Some people asked me later on, months afterwards, you know, they heard this. And I was like, well, you know, I really even couldn't bring myself to even say it, you know, because it was like, no, I can't say that. I can't make that announcement. I can't do it, you know, and it seemed unfair to the people that I didn't tell them, but, you know, I was conflicted with that, you know, because I couldn't even bring myself to say it, you know, and so we run into these situations all the time, you know. You stand here every day, you preach faith and everything, you know, and then you're faced with this situation. How you deal with it? Well, it's a trial of your faith. It's the word of the Lord that's tried, but we have to use balance and to understand all these things. You know, so I believe rest came. We spoke about it yesterday, and little did I know that, and we call it prophetic too, you know, call it rest, you know, and say, well, your rest. You know, expectation, see the top of the mountains. Well, I believe our brother did see the top of the mountains. And, you know, there is no prayer unless God overrules. There's no prayer that's going to bring him back from that place. You know, because once you get a taste of that, it's not coming back. Well, what else is there, you know, for somebody to come and take it on this earth? And yesterday I prayed, I said, look, you know, everyone doesn't need this man. We need him here. You know, that was my argument yesterday. So, look, you got a lot of people in heaven, you know, who praise you over there. This man, we need him right here. Now, that was my argument, you know. But, you know, God said, well, you know, there's rest coming. And through my own voice yesterday, right here in this room in the morning, I was saying exactly that. I didn't know what I was saying. It was going to even be in that direction. Yeah, my mind was on other things. But hey, you know, our God is God and we are his children. He loves us beyond what we think. You know, we can't pull it out and understand it all the time, but we love him nonetheless. Praise God. And so, you know, we want to show ourselves more than conquerors. When we go through situations like this, you know, and, you know, people have suffered losses. You know, I've suffered loss in my family. You know, we've suffered losses, not my immediate, not my wife and children, thank God. But I'm talking about brother and sister, mother and father, you know, that kind of thing. You know, and you know, and some brethren also, so close to you. I mean, you can't even believe. Well, you know, when we're faced with situations like that, we got to pull out, you know, the grace of God, surround one another. Praise God. That's what we do. In times like this, we encourage one another. Look, you can be more than a conqueror. You know, we're not going to let the devil, you know, have a laugh over us. We always get the last laugh. Always. Because, you know, one, a person that's been going through years, you know, of disability, and they believe the Lord and in and out and up and down and so forth, and their wife, you know, prophesying, declaring the word of God. And she come out here many times, you know, in this room. You were here, many of you witnesses on how she declared things over her husband. And we were all believing and so forth to the last moment. And even to yesterday, the hospital, we had her on the phone. Even while we were in this room, we had her on the phone. She was listening and we were telling her, you know, some words and different things. And she was saying those things. And, you know, but there was no response. You know, because the man doesn't want to come back to that pain. But I know that if he came back, it would have been no more pain. See, that's the thing. You know, when Lazarus came back out of that grave, came out of that grave, he was no longer sick. He was made every whit whole. Now, if the Lord would bring our brother back, you know, that would be the greatest thing, because he would not be sick anymore. Glory to God. But if he had a choice and was asked and given an opportunity, he wouldn't want to go back. He said, well, what about his family and his friends that are suffering? What about Enoch? You know, you think Enoch was concerned about his wife and children when he was translated? You know, when they were there, you know, the Bible says that Enoch was having children and walking with God. So he had his family and he was walking with God. But when it was time to be gone, he was gone. He didn't worry about wife and children. You know, Lord, take care of them. When you are in his presence, it's a fullness of joy. You're not even thinking about anything. You know, we quote that scripture all the time, but none of us has experienced it yet. If you're still on this earth, you haven't experienced that fullness of joy because you're not there yet. Sometimes we get, you know, transformed, you know, in the moment of worship and so forth, but it's not anything like when you are really there. You haven't seen him in all his splendor. And even if he appeared to you in some glorious form, it's still couched. You haven't really seen him in his splendor. You haven't really seen those streets of gold. You haven't seen any of those things. You know, and you do. And you know, one thing about, you know, the way the Lord fixed it or fixes it, when he says there shall be no more pain, no more sorrow, he will wipe away sorrow from their heart. You know, when we all get there, nobody's going to remember any sorrow. Because God will wipe it away. You won't even remember it. The person that's there doesn't even remember. You know, the ones that remember are the ones that haven't, you know, their life weren't clean. You know, and their lives hanging by a thread. Even when they were here, they didn't, you know, trust God with their lives. It's like the rich man who was saying, oh, can I go back and tell my brothers and sisters? You know, because he still had remembrance of that. But those that are on the other side, Abraham said, there's a great gulf between us and them and you. So those that passed on in glory, that's it. They're not worrying about, you know, their wife and children. You know, God will take care of them. They're in his presence, fullness of joy. Isn't that a wonderful way to, you know, after all this struggle, all the pain for the last several years and so forth, you know, come to a place of rest, you know, and now you can see the top of the mountains like that and see the glory of God. Oh my. You know, it's difficult for us who are here. I accept that, you know, and, you know, I still believe in my heart that, you know, come out of that place and the Lord's name be glorified. That's my expectation. I'm not that saying, but I owe it to this room to talk about that because I called you together yesterday for prayer. If I didn't call anybody, I wouldn't even talk about it. I just, you know, hang in there, believe in God. But, you know, for full disclosure and full transparency, we got to tell you these things, you know, because, hey, I'm not the only one that cares for him. You all do. Praise the Lord. You know, so we got to tell it to you the way. But our sister Maggie and her family, yeah, they've been through a lot. And we've experienced it with them in this room. You've seen it many times that she was here declaring over her husband. And, you know, many of you were joining those prayers, declaring over him. You know, I myself stood with him many, many times on the battlefield, side by side, you know, and, you know, but hey, nobody wants to experience that. But there's one thing that we know, that a person who was suffering all that stuff, a family was suffering all that stuff, they won't have that pain and sorrow anymore. Temporary pain and sorrow, while they deal with the fact that, you know, he's actually gone. Can that be? I mean, can God not answer the prayer? Can God not answer? Do we have to pray like the prophets of Baal for hours before God can answer us? You know, I mean, people have to deal with those things. You know, our mind works like that. But at the end of the day, we're not in despair. Yeah, you eventually come back and realize that, oh, Lord, you are good. Thank you, Jesus. And so we want to lift up the family. It's complex, you know, when you're going through these things. It's a complex conflict in your mind, this way, that, and that. There's some people that didn't sleep 1 minute last night, you know, and they had to deal with all of this and so on. But, hey. It's all good. Our God is good and his mercy endures forever. And some things he doesn't always explain to us. I actually wish he did. You know, I said, look, tell me plainly, you know, one time they asked Jesus all this mystery, you know, about the Father. And so just tell us plainly. Yeah, just tell us all these things plainly. Don't couch anything. Well, he couches it because our minds cannot understand the complexity of all the things that he knows. But we give him the praise and glory. I want us to pray, you know, for the Akibon family. We were dealing with a precarious situation, you know, all evening and all night long yesterday. Here we are, still dealing with it. And still trying to encourage people through that process, you know, and so let's lift them up in prayer. I want to remind us as I close this exhortation that the Bible says that we should not be moved by these things. And that even in all these things, we can still be more than conquerors. That's the posture that I want us to take. And we want to praise the Lord and, leave it all in his hands. You know, God knows things that we don't know. Our ways are not his ways. We were reading that even yesterday. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, you know. And we don't understand everything that he knows. But we thank God for the grace of God and the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to pray first and then I'm going to invite you to pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. The word of God, always, for every situation, Bible says, beautiful. There's always some scripture, some word to explain what the complex situations are. And here's one complex situation, Lord, today. And we've tried to give admonition and exhortation to your people. I pray, first, for the people on this platform who may be confused and conflicted. You know, just like Paul said, well, we're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We don't lose hope. You know, we will not let the devil tell us that, well, your God never answered your prayer. Of course he did. You know, and the Lord also even spoke about it. We just didn't understand what he was saying. You know, that there's coming a time of rest and the top of the mountains will be seen. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, for that family, Lord. I pray for our sister Maggie. You had labored over her husband, their children. Have labored. And how would they be dealing with that? You know, how does a person deal with the loss of their parent or the loss of their spouse? I don't know. It's very, very difficult. I pray that the Lord will give them the grace as they go through. And the people that they are surrounded by, give them the words to encourage and to strengthen. You know, the Bible says when men are cast down, you know, you come around them and say there's a lifting up. Let them be surrounded by strength of the Holy Spirit, you know, through the ups and down, the moments, you know, of denial and, you know, struggle and conflicted about the promises of God and how God answered prayer and what he had done before and all of that. You know, speak to their hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. And help us also, you know, that through all of this, we will not speak unadvisedly. Through all of this, the Bible says, through all these things, Job did not curse the Lord. His wife said, well, curse the Lord already and die. But he did not. Through all of it, he kept his integrity. We pray, Lord, that through all the situation, the family and we and everybody affected, keep our integrity. And the Lord is good. Precious in the eyes of the Lord, the death of his saints. These things are precious to the Lord. He got it all calculated and figured out. We don't understand it. But Lord, we lift up and strengthen. The Bible says, say to them that are of a fearful heart, our God will come and save you. Strengthen the hands and the knees that are feeble. Lift up the hands that are hanging down. Let the heads that be bowed down be lifted up in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you the praise and the glory, Lord, because we will take on the posture of being more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Because the last enemy to be defeated is death, even though Jesus already abolished it. But it's still from time to time raises ugly head. And the process of extraction of spirit out of that body can be painful sometimes. But Lord, for our brother who's passed over, there's no more pain and no more sorrow. Enjoying the beauties of the glory of God and hear testimonies of others who also have overcome. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. The days ahead, Lord, will be difficult as we process this. You know, the up and downs in our minds. But Lord, you are stable. Let there be no up and downs. Help us, Lord, to be stabilized in our minds. The faithfulness of God. Steadfast love never faileth. Glory and honor be unto your name. We strengthen, Lord, the family by our prayers. Let your name be a banner and a defense unto them. In the name of Jesus. Give you, Lord, praise and glory. Let everybody's heart also be strengthened that's in here. The man whose life has impacted so many, perhaps more than anybody else in our circles. Pray, Lord, the people deal with that, strengthen them in the name of Jesus. But let's rejoice that the suffering is over, the up and down is over, it's come to a place of rest. You can see the top of the mountains now. Huh? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.